WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast, and we are taking it online today because our guest Remy is over in the USA. How are you doing, Remy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's the weather over in Miami?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's sunny, 80 degrees, beach weather.
Very nice. Pretty jealous, not going to lie. The Christmas tree behind you gives the impression that maybe it's colder than it is.
I know. I'm trying to have some winter feeling in here.
Very nice. So, Remy, you're the CEO of Physician Endorsed.
Yes.
Could you just give us a bit of a quick summary of what Physician Endorsed is, what you guys sell, and stuff like that?
So Physician Endorsed is a wholesale hat and bag company. So we manufacture and design, and then we sell to the retailers who then sell to consumers. So Physician Endorsed started as a hat company only for the purpose to provide sun protective and fashionable hats. The previous owners were seeing a lot in the market that there was sun protective hats, but they were not fashionable, or they were fashionable with no sun protection. So two in one. And we were sold in hotels, med spas, resorts, plastic surgeons. And we started to receive a lot of interest from the fashion brands, which eventually led to licensing for Gore-Tex, Ale by Alessandra, and now Nikki Beach. So then we also dove into the fashionable aspect and accessory designing. So we have two hat and bag lines, all from the same factory, same quality, but different design and for different demographic.
Amazing. So pretty fitting for Miami. Always.
Oh, yeah. We sell year round.
Very nice. So you took over Physician Endorsed in 2023, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was founded back in 2002. When you kind of took over Physician Endorsed, what did you think kind of needed to be protected from the previous identity of the brand? And what opportunities did you originally go, hey, I definitely want to change that, or we should do this?
So what I wanted to make sure to keep the same was our customer service, the quality of our products. You know, being young, being a 27-year-old new owner at the time, that goes against me. So I wanted to just reassure all of our customers everything was going to stay the same. You know, there wasn't going to be delays. And I would say the biggest opportunity was being able, I've been in sales since 16, and I'm still the head sales rep. I'm still designing with the exclusive collections. So what was the biggest opportunity was being able to make the changes that our customers were asking. So if there was a specific style or a specific color and that we weren't bringing it in, but I kept hearing it from customers, I, being the CEO now, I'm actually able to say, okay, let's do it. Let's bring it in. Let me take that feedback. And these are experienced buyers, and they're hearing from the consumers. So they're hearing from 100 different people, where I'm just hearing from one person or two people. So that was the, my opportunity there was to just take in and make sure that we're getting all the feedback and implementing it into the company.
Amazing. And do you feel like that's been well received by your buyers and things like that?
Yes. They are very pleased with new ownership.
Amazing.
Nice. And you mentioned there, obviously, and in the intro around like how Physician Endorsed is obviously solely focused on wholesale. Right. In a world where everyone's talking about D2C and ads and that sort of being the way to get in front of the customers, what made you so sure that actually just being a wholesale brand and really honing in on the B2B side was the best way forward for you?
So I'm not totally opposed to doing DTC or a website, but it is logistically it's like a whole other logistic system. So we would need another office, another warehouse, or another office manager, another warehouse manager. We would need to separate it because it's two completely different worlds. So right now, especially 2-year owner, it isn't something that we're looking to go into, but it's not something I'm opposed to. The benefit about wholesale is that, like I mentioned earlier, you're working with one, two, three people versus just 100 people ordering off your site. You're getting feedback from these people. You're making relationships with them. I mean, so far that I have my customers that'll be like, my daughter has a bridal shower. Can you send me, you know, a hat? Or when I just had my wedding, I received gifts. So it's really, the relationships are personable, and I'm a talkative person. I'm social. So I like that interaction where I've been working with some of the same buyers for already 12 years.
I can imagine, like, coming from a background in sales, that's really played into your strengths there.
Yeah,
big time. On the flip side, like, what have been some of the biggest challenges of, like, the wholesale kind of market? If someone's listening in and they're thinking, actually, I'm a great salesperson. I like to build relationships. Yeah. This is the route I want to go down. What are some of the things that they should maybe be wary of or learn from your experiences?
I would say the biggest challenge is cash. Being in the wholesale business, you're not selling direct to consumer on a website and getting that credit card going right into your bank account. So the way that it works is you design a collection, then for about 2 months, you're showing it to the buyers, you're getting your orders, you send the order to the factory. Takes about, I'd say right now, like 45 days for production. So then the order leaves and you pay the factory. Mm-hmm. You receive it about 45 days later, and then you pay customs. Then you prepare the order and you ship it to your customer. Typically with the bigger customers.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 4 sponsor, Cubix Media. Cubix are a Shopify agency and Shopify Plus partner that specializes in crafting beautiful and reliable web stores. If you're a brand looking for Shopify services, replatforming, development, or e-com strategy, then head over to Cubix Media. Let's get back into the podcast.
The bigger corporations, they're on net 30, 60, 90 terms, which means they have 1 to 3 months to pay. So the biggest issue is that you're putting out all of this cash and you're not seeing the return or the profit for 7 months. So that definitely has affected us where, you know, we have a new brand and a cover-up line and we've had to kind of hold back on when we're bringing it in because of that cash flow. Or if a customer, we work with customers on exclusives. So maybe they send us like 8 exclusives that they want and we're like, well, we can only do 5. So that is, cash is really the biggest challenge because of the way, and I'm not sure if this is how all wholesale businesses are set up, but the ones that I've spoke to, this is usually how it works. And most factories will actually require a 50% deposit. So in most cases, they're actually putting out more money earlier than I am. So that is a really big challenge.
That leads really nicely into something I did want to talk to you about is the fact you've worked with Wayflyer, right? And that, you know, links up really nice with the cash flow challenge, which you said you kind of experienced quite early on. Could you just tell us a little bit about like Wayflyer? And obviously you've mentioned the cash flow issue that obviously identified a need for them, but how did you come about them and how did that relationship kind of develop?
So I had consultants when I was buying out the company because I bought the company through a small business association loan. And like I said, I was 27, no assets, nothing. So I needed help getting in the door. And when we were, like I said, with the cash flow, you know, I was designing, we were doing hats initially and I brought in bags and we received a lot of interest. We had customers wanting to order bags, placing orders. I didn't have the cash to now also invest in the bags, knowing that I'm not receiving payment for 7 months. So my consultant had connected me to Wayflyer and I met with them and it was seamless. It was easy. It was one of those it's meant to be because it just worked so easily. And what I like is it's not like you're just a case ID where, you know, you have somebody that you're talking to that's checking in on you that you can email at any time. They will answer the next day because of the time difference. And even when the tariff was a huge challenge that we faced this year and we couldn't bring in goods and it was in the middle of our season. So that also caused us to lose about, I think it was $110,000 to $130,000 in orders that we could have received had we had that inventory. Mm-hmm. So another thing was like reaching out to Wayflyer and just asking them for some help during that time, because we weren't bringing in the receivables, but we still had the same payables due. Mm-hmm. So they, I was introduced through my consultant, and it's been already, I'd say, a year working with them. And it's been fabulous. I've recommended so many people. I mean, they would have done SBA loans, I would have gone with them.
Really? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing to hear. And when, like, from my impression with Wayflyers, you know, when those doors are closed for a brand that's looking to grow and there's those opportunities, just being able to, you know, especially having a seamless process to be able to unlock those doors,
yes,
can really help you kind of achieve that next level of growth. Like if we're looking at like in the medium to long term plans for Physician Endorsed and the brand and stuff like, do you see Wayflyer being used again? Do you think in further stages of growth, or do you think it was more so for that initial part, or what's your thoughts?
So I've already, two or three times I've already worked with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been really, really great, really easy. And like I said, it's a huge help to get in that instant cash flow. And the other thing that I also do like is the interest rate is not obscene. You know, usually if you're not going through a bank, you're going through like a smaller lender, they might have a crazy interest rate. The interest rate with Wayflyer is normal. It's, you know, it's the same as all the others. So that was also something that was a relief.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. You mentioned that I think one of the times you used it was when you were adding the bags to your range, right? So I think that was a really interesting like change up from just the hats to the bags. Do you think there will be future product expansions? Presumably Wayflyer allows the possibility, but yes, are we able to get any inside scoops?
There are. So as I said, we brought in bags, and then this year actually, we introduced a new brand and a new collection, which is Remy Ruiz, the label, and it's a brand of cover-ups. I know you would think the world doesn't need another brand of cover-ups, but growing up in Miami, our uniform was bathing suit cover-ups.
Yeah.
You know, you're wearing bathing suits and cover-ups year-round. And something that Physician Endorsed started with needing sun protective and fashionable. Yeah. And I think when something's built based on it, something that's needed, like this cover-up brand, I was noticing that there was either super conservative cover-ups where I looked like I was in my 50s and I was 16, or there was very, very, you know, sexy and barely covered cover-ups where I felt like I was looking like 27 and I was 16. So I would actually buy all of my cover-ups and go to my seamstress and have her redo them so that they wouldn't be as conservative, and I wouldn't feel so uncomfortable being on a boat and being like, you know, or getting in, being in the car on the way to the boat, like barely dressed. It's very uncomfortable. So that was something that I personally saw that we just didn't. I didn't feel like we had enough options of in-between style cover-ups. And so we are launching that, and Wayflyer is going to be helping with us to launch that, because we need that upfront cash. And especially with the new brand, you're not receiving pre-orders the way that you are with an established brand. So for our Physician Endorsed and Nikki Beach hats, we have pre-orders. So we have orders already for June 2026. With the new brand, they need a test, they need history, they need selling. They're not going to give you that order confirmed. They're not going to give you that money. So that's the other thing, is with starting a new brand, you're looking at even longer time to make that money back in profit, which is why and where something like Wayflyer really, really comes in handy.
Really. And quick question, like on that, do you think that it's largely the same sort of retail partners that you would be selling all three brands into, or does it require you to go out and find all new partners, maybe some overlap? Like, how does that work?
So it would be the same retailers, because I am making sure that everything ties where you can buy the hat, the bag, and the cover up all in one.
Amazing.
But in the industry of the buying, there's different departments. So I'm in accessories right now, which is for hats and bags. Cover ups goes into resort wear or clothing or swim. So it's the same stores. It's all new buyers. So it's not buyers that I already have relationships with. It's new ones. But going back to how we were talking about earlier with relationships, all of the buyers that I work with have introduced me to the buying team in their same store for the resort and cover ups. And that is where that relationship, you know, and 10 years ago, I didn't know what I was going to be doing. So the relationship was natural, but then it, you know, it's full circle moment where then they're there to help you and make that introduction.
Amazing.
Remy, are all your buyers in the US?
No. Majority are in the US, but we do work all over. We work international. We do a lot with the Caribbean, a lot in Europe. We're in Bloomingdale's, London.
Yeah. Have to pop in there, check out the products.
So we are, and we've been trying to expand and do more out of the US, but with all of the changes in the import and export duties, that is, it's a little difficult just because no one can confirm pricing. We don't know, you know, in a month, is it going to change? And then the buyer now is not making any money, or we're not making. So it's been, that's been a little bit of a challenge. I've just made sure with anyone that we're working with on something new, you know, a new customer, just being open and saying, you know, if the tariffs do change and go higher, we will have to price to equal. And if they go lower, we can lower to equal that. So just being transparent.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Has that sort of forced you to look at other, like you mentioned, obviously being global essentially, but has that been a big reason for starting to look at new markets?
No, that's always been something. Going into the business, I had wanted to make it worldwide. I wanted to be able to ship everywhere. And it's not as easy because, you know, being in the US or even in Miami, I can fly 2 hours and meet with a customer or drive an hour. So going international, it is harder to meet with the customers, you know, get confirmed meetings, but we are really focusing on also expanding our international customer base.
Cool. And this maybe kind of ties into this general theme a little bit here, but when we normally chat with like D2C brands on the podcast, we always like to maybe chat a little bit about tech solutions that have helped their business grow. Obviously, Wayflyer, we've talked quite a bit about them and how they've helped you. Is there any other kind of tech solutions sitting in the background which has really helped your business with its operations or anything like this?
I think we're pretty standard basic when it comes to that. Like QuickBooks is the best SOS inventory, but other than that, we don't really focus that much on any of like the tech or marketing. Also, being wholesale, it's a whole different world, especially with the marketing. Yeah. So for example, like I would rather focus on making the relationships with stylists and magazine editors and, you know, people that write articles on Elle, so that there's more linkage to showing the hat and showing different consumers versus, because there's no link to our site where you could just automatically. So a lot of those like tech sites and also the ad, you know, a lot goes into linking with going back to your site and having the consumer purchase from you. So because that's not in our realm, we just really haven't focused or expanded any of that.
So if, let's say, like a new buyer discovers Physician Endorse, like if they wanted to get in contact with you, would they just do it, you know, by an email or something, or how does that work?
So it's either by email, by our website. We do have a website. We don't show prices and you can't order from it, but you can still contact us. And we have consumers that'll reach out and then we'll provide them with the retailer in their area so that they can go buy the hat. And email, phone, Instagram. I mean, we are on Instagram, but not to sell. I would say that's better. That's helped us where if a buyer is looking through our Instagram and they're like, okay, we don't want to go through the whole catalog, let me just take a quick little sneak, they can get an idea of what we're selling, like what our style is.
Yeah, it's like more of a showcase kind of platform of your products.
Yes. And stuff, right? Yeah. And then the trade shows are also great, great ways to meet new customers. And then the old school, you know, Google searching and picking up the phone and calling. And I mean, I still do that. I do drive-bys. It's there's a lot of different ways to contact and to get contacted, but you definitely have to be out there. You have to chase the buyer. The buyer's not chasing you because there's 100 brands of everything.
Love that. Yeah, that's a lovely little snippet and very inspirational. I'm curious, you mentioned like the trade show piece, which to your point just then is about getting out there, like long old days, like being on the floor and waiting for right buyers to come past. What are maybe some of the best trade shows in your opinion? Or like, what are the things that make sure you get success out of those multiple day events?
So a trade show is like a gamble. I have had amazing, phenomenal, successful trade shows, and I have had trade shows that failed that I did not even make $1,000 back to it. So, and I've done the studying and the reaching out to everyone. There's no way to know. It's just my biggest thing is that when you're at a trade show, be at the trade show. Don't be sitting down. Don't be on your phone. You know, if I'm running to the bathroom and I'm walking by booths and I see that people are just on their phone, it's not inviting. You don't want to walk in. So the biggest thing is being there, standing 8 hours, and everyone that passes by, hi, have a great day. And just really being present and just trying to get in front of as much people. But it's really, like I said, we're chasing them. And then a lot of, I think the trade shows are a phenomenal way for the wholesalers to market, because we have had customers where they've been at a different trade show and said, oh, well, we saw you at that trade show 2 years ago, and now we're seeing you here. Now we're ready to place an order.
Yeah.
Or they'll reach out to us and say, you know, I met you 6 months ago at this trade show. And the trade shows also do a really great job at making sure we have all their contact information. So it's not like, oh, you know, now I only have 3 emails. It's like, no, after you get the full list, you get their phone numbers, but it's up to you to make the calls and send the emails.
100%. Yeah, I think that's been like a common theme throughout our discussion today, right? Like the idea, and you're obviously really good at it. I also work in partnerships. Most people know this if they've been listening into the podcast for a while. But I think like that's so interesting to see that applied in different spaces rather than just like tech, where I also go to expos and I've had the same reflections of like, as if these people are just sitting down working while they're here, right? But actually hearing you say that on the flip side, it's exactly the same, and you need to be sort of exhibiting the same behaviors to be successful, right? Like, so that's awesome.
Yeah, so, I think it goes, I mean, growing up, I was always learned not to cross my hands when I was standing because it wasn't inviting. So I think it kind of goes to that. We're all people. Buyers are people, you know, customers are people, sellers are people. So if you're feeling invited, you're going to come in. If you're feeling like you're just another you're just another number, another invoice, you're going to walk right by.
Yeah, big time.
So it sounds like, Theo, you have the skill set to start a wholesale business, do you?
Yes.
Well, I'm taking notes. Thank you, Remy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. And like, just to maybe, unless Theo, you have a couple more questions, like just to maybe wrap things up, I always like to ask the guest what their favorite brand at the moment is for them to shop from.
So that's very difficult for me because I am not, I'm not a brand person. I mean, I am a brand person, but I'm not. I love brands either because I work with them. I love what they're about, you know, what their message sends, or I love their fit, or I love their pricing. So for me, I am more of somebody that would like to shop and have all different brands available. I like an assortment. I want something that is from a small business that no one knows, or, you know, something high-end and designer. But I would say some of my favorite brands, Viani Milano, are shoes made in Italy from a small business, woman-owned. They're amazing, amazing, amazing quality. I think the brand started about 4 years ago. I have walked all of New York in these shoes. Really? And I would also go with Stuart Weitzman. Those shoes are phenomenal. And then for clothing, I would say Love Shack Fancy, Amanda Up Richard, Lovers and Friends, very preppy, girly. That's my style. Like the ruffles, the skirts, the dresses, the pink, the floral. So those would be my go-to brands if I had to. But really, if I picked out 20 of my favorite articles of clothing in my closet, they would all be different brands.
Okay.
That's
great.
Cool.
There's some great little choices there for some little listeners to check out those brands for sure. I ain't even heard of any of those brands, so I'm definitely going to check them out.
They're great brands. They're great brands.
I always love when we ask that question and we hear the why behind it. As much as the brand, it's like, okay, why? And you're talking about like obviously quality being so important, but like what the brand stands for and like the story behind it. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, the message is, you know, there's like a brand, JMP the label swimwear, and their message is that they're for every body, so that they go up to XXL and they're extra small. And so for me, that, I mean, I love their bathing suits and I love their fit, but I also love the message. And even Bombas, because I just got my parents' slippers from there and I saw that for every pair ordered, they donate a pair. So that's also really important to me, is when I see that brands, when they have a big message, a good message, or when they're giving back.
Amazing. Awesome.
Great. That's probably, in my opinion, the best response for that question we've ever had on the podcast. So
really,
yeah, a lot of the time, like people are like, you know, oh, I don't know, or they, you know, all this. You were kind of like, oh, I'm not too sure, and then you just smashed us with an amazing answer.
I know, and then I'm like, you know what? It's just because I love the, you know, I love when there's a real message, when there's good being done back. Like, yeah,
very nice, very nice. So yeah, Remy, thanks for coming on. Awesome. Like, I wish we could have flown out to Miami and done the episode in person, but
oh, I know, that would have been fun.
Yeah, I don't think the budget would have quite covered that.
Especially not this time of the year. We're in season.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how expensive it would be to fly over there right now.
It's an arm and a leg.
Yeah, geez. But yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast. I'm going to do my little outro now. So actually, before we do that, Remy, if anyone is listening and did want to purchase your products or stock your products or anything like this, where can they find you?
Revolve, Shop Nikki Beach, Bloomingdale's, QVC, Marriott Hotels, Everything But Water.
Great.
And I mean, a lot of different places. Village Hat Shop, fedoras.com.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Well, you're very well stocked all over. And for the London listeners, get in Bloomingdale's, get the products there.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to quickly do a little outro and thank our sponsors. So this episode has been sponsored by Cubic Shopify Agency and presented by Knotted Commerce Integrations. That's a wrap, guys.
Perfect. See you next time.